back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. I've enjoyed the conversation so far, so let's keep that rolling. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor on The Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I got to agree with some stuff, and I don't agree with it.
Sure.
Especially cutting down the minor leagues.
Okay.
We are jumping the gun, moving a little too fast. But that's definitely no fans. I believe you only play like 50% of games, you get 50% of your salary. Isn't that goes for the regular people?
That's pretty much what was the negotiated deal before, and now I guess Major League Baseball is saying that those terms are no longer acceptable, and the players are saying, we already agreed to this, so that's what it's going to be.
I guess I got to be on the players, but I wish they would get a cap. This, like, the other leagues have stronger cap. This is a joke. Quarterbacks and what baseball players make is getting to be out of hand.
How come you want a cap, Mitch?
Because I like to see them expand all sports, especially baseball. They don't have these other teams. Like, Oakland's a joke. He's only worth $2 billion. Now, cry me a river. He doesn't want to get a new stadium. He expects tax people to pay for it or those mm-hmm. street deals.
Right.
The Marlins is a joke, but, you know, I don't think you can move the stadium physically to, like, Portland or Montreal or Charlotte. I mean, they don't have a, you know, they take away football teams from cities that were selling out because the stadiums didn't have, you know, $100 marble toilet for the fancy people. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be more teams, be more money, and definitely not cut down the minor league teams. And you tell me they will lose the money last year by having all these teams, and if most of the money's in signing bonuses, then, you know, maybe it's a tax write-off.
I'm not even necessarily saying that from like a business perspective, Mitch. I'm saying from like a pure baseball standpoint, is it necessary for every organization to have 7 minor league teams?
Is it that many? I think it is, because it's the hardest thing in sports is to hit at baseball. 90 miles. Maybe you need these development leagues. I just take away these little towns, and not everybody wants to live in New York City and, well, Philadelphia. I'm sorry, but I'm glad I'm kind of living in the burbs here. I mean, in between, I'm like half in between both cities, but so I can go to East End or go to these minor league teams.
Yeah, I got you.
It's enjoyable. It's the hardest thing in sports to hit a baseball. You can't cut it down. So, I don't know if it's a tax write-off. They pay the signing bonuses $400 a week. They can't splurge for that, and they want to cut it out. I mean, what's going to happen with the CBA? If they can't come to agreement now, what's going to happen with the CBA?
I think the CBA is going to get really ugly, Mitch. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate hearing from you, as always. I think that this pretty much gutting of the minor leagues, it seems to be permanent. There's no indication that it's not a permanent decision to do this. I think that it's going to be a major negotiating stumbling block when it comes to the next CBA, when it comes to negotiating the season starting, that sort of thing. I just don't think that is... I don't think that that's going to be a good thing for anyone, that this happened. 610-632-0975. Dan in Pottstown's been waiting on The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to the show tonight. I think it's been great. You know, you guys have talked about things from a business standpoint, which I think has been interesting. And I just have a couple comments, and then sure, I wanted to ask you guys a question, you know, your opinion on something. So I'll start by saying when, you know, earlier, you know, maybe last week or whatever, when they came out with some of the proposals, it kind of was getting blamed, you know, if you listen to talk radio and sports, a little bit on the owners and the players, where people were calling in and they were like, you know, oh, we got millionaires fighting millionaires in these situations, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And that was kind of casting a wide net on both sides. The more that things come out, I'm kind of leaning with the players a little bit more in terms of, you know, a lot of these owners, I do think they, you know, they're in a much better financial situation overall. Obviously, they own a baseball team, but the fact that the sacrifice that they would have to make in order to get things going again seems like it would be less, you know, from a player's standpoint. I'm not talking about like the Mike Trout, you know, Bryce Harper
right.
situation. I'm talking about even the thousands of people that, you know, work at the ballparks throughout the summer and rely on that income you know, I would like to think that maybe we could stop being a little selfish on both sides. I mean, the players are looking out for themselves. You made a great point about a half hour ago of, you know, you got to get paid what you feel you're worth. And I think baseball sometimes opens up the floodgates with these huge contracts that they allow people to have, mm-hmm. you know, and it just kind of sets a bad precedent. But that's, you know, my comments on that whole thing. And then I wanted to ask you guys, and I'll let you go, but do you think that out of all major sports, I heard you read the Loesch tweet, that there's a bigger disconnect between the current and former players than baseball? I think that's the number one sport where the former players and the current, I mean, they had to make a commercial, literally hashtag let the kids play, because, you know, there were so many. Like, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, Dan, that's interesting, man. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Tyler, when I see it, I have always thought of hockey as like a true fraternity where the older players and the new generation of players are mostly simpatico, even as the game has changed. The NBA, I think, much the same. I really do. The only two that I think would be candidates are football, where it seems like no older players fully embrace the new younger generation. And Major League Baseball. I think that was an astute observation that Dan made.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. And I think it's probably for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
For football being, obviously, with nothing guaranteed past your signing bonus or whatever you negotiate being a guaranteed part of your contract, older players often realize that their lifespan in the league is a lot shorter than other leagues, you know, comparably, because it is such a physical, violent sport. I think that's probably why in football would be my guess. Baseball, I think baseball is a little bit different. It's because it's that traditional, pastime sport.
Mm-hmm.
And each one, as these guys get older and these younger guys come in, there's an infusion of youth, and their youth was different than this youth, which is different than the youths of the veterans who, you know, it's just like this, it's like this life cycle of, you know, it's a different generation, and therefore it's a little bit hostile because these players do play for a lot longer because it is a sport that allows you to play into your late 30s and into your 40s sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, that's and maybe that's it too, is that there are more players of previous generations playing baseball relative to some of these other sports. Like, I think that that's 100% a factor.
And that's what I mean. I mean, you look at the league, and even last season, Bartolo Colon could have been the father of some of the rookies and young guys. He's mm-hmm. 46. There's guys that are 19, 20, 21 years old. Like, if you think about it, their dads could be 46.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's the disconnect, is that it is not just a few years or even 10 years. It's, in some cases, an entire generation worth of age gap.
Yeah, there is a generational gap there, 100%. 610-632-0975. It's your phone number to join the conversation. And the other thing that Dan said that, I mean, we talked about this too, and it's kind of central to all of this, actually, is not what owners should be forced to do, how they should have to conduct their business. You know, nothing like that, because, quite frankly, it's a concept that I'm not comfortable with. But when you put it in terms of like percentage of their net worth, if it costs $175, if you make an average, well, the average American family, according to, what did I say, CNBC? Yeah. Is worth about $700,000 in the United States. $175 for them, effectively, to keep 250 people employed. Is it something that you should have to do? No, of course it's not. But it's probably something you should do if you're earnestly pursuing a start to the season, if you want to be partners with the players, if you want, like, I truly believe with Bryce Harper, with Max Scherzer, with Mike Trout, with the highest paid players in baseball, there's going to be a contentious battle over salaries. And by the way, you saw that the NFL's new CBA, right? Stars all hated it and were outvoted because it's not as good for the stars and it's better for, you know, people at the bottom end of rosters. And there, quite frankly, just a lot more of them than there are stars in the NFL. There's going to be a divide at some point between, you know, people at the top and the bottom of Major League Baseball rosters too. But I have to say, this is not something that bodes well for baseball. I don't know that it necessarily is a, you know, death knell for live sports, period. And here's why. The comparison that I make, you know, and Tyler, you know, not having seen Game of Thrones is crippling to the DNA of this show. But the
you probably could have just stopped at Tyler and not added the not. You didn't have to have that clause in there.
Yeah, it only cripples the DNA of the show. The Game of Thrones television finale, everybody hated. There are people trying to come back and say now. I saw that it was like the anniversary or whatever. There are people trying to say that it was good. Don't lie to yourself. Just go with the first reaction that you had. You don't need to sit back and think it was good now. It was terrible then, and it's terrible now. The whole thing is that the books aren't finished. The books upon which the series is like kind of created are not complete.
Wait, hold on. This is something I didn't know.
Yeah.
The TV show lapped the books?
It caught the books and then proceeded onward.
So
here's what happened. Supposedly, George R. R. Martin, the author of these books, kind of laid out the rough outline for how the story was going to go. And then it was up to the showrunners to kind of tell the story. The failure of the final season, and in particular the ending of Game of Thrones, is a massive boon to the author because he says, holy crap, that was, people hated this. There's no way this is going to be the actual ending now. Does that make sense, Tyler? Like, it, even if that was your plan, you're like, whoa, people hated this plan. So you have to have this idea. Are you married to your story, period, no matter what, end of conversation? Or are you thinking, I've got two more books that I could kind of take this in a different direction here? I think that that would be the smarter way to go. Why am I talking about Game of Thrones? Because if you're one of these other teams, these other leagues, Major League Baseball is effectively pulling a Game of Thrones finale right now, where everyone is embarrassed who is a baseball fan who watched this play out. And if you're a casual fan, you're just not going to pay attention. If you were casually watching Game of Thrones and you saw the season end going the way that it did, you're like, I'm out anyway. I'll see you later. But all of these other leagues now have the ability to get out in front of this thing. The NFL has to find, like, here's the answer to it. You have to decide for yourself if prorated salaries are so bad. You have to decide for yourself if say that you work a part-time job and your days get cut from 5 days to 2 days. You have to decide for yourself if you're okay with working at the same rate, just less. You know, if you're making $10 an hour, are you still making $10 an hour, just three fewer days, right? That's the situation that we find ourselves in now. I would anticipate that since that's kind of the proposal that makes sense from Jump Street when you're talking about rich people arguing with richer people, that just kind of doing that is not going to have people getting kicked out of their homes. It's not going to have people's businesses if you're the owners going under. It's just literally a life raft to keep things afloat. Everything that's happened since that agreement just looks vindictive by the Major League Baseball owners. I would anticipate that the NBA, the NHL, and the NFL will not have any of these problems. People are saying, oh, look out, it's going to happen to every sport. I bet it doesn't, because in this case, George R. R. Martin sees how the reception to the ending of Game of Thrones is going, and he's going to call an audible, and there's going to be a new game plan. I truly, truly believe that. I think that, unfortunately, MLB's been a guinea pig on that.
Well, and again, it comes back to those who believe that the players, it's that conversation again of the players need to go take this because they are, a lot of them, making a good, you know, living, making a good chunk of change, whatever it might be. That's when people start to look at your example that you gave with the cutting of hours for, you know, for someone that's working that part-time job. For the person that was working, you know, again, it's you don't want to put anybody's example, but like you just use the part-time job example, like you said.
Sure.
the person that loses out on those hours is probably and very likely in much more of a dire need of those hours for their what they get paid than these MLB players are. So the normal everyday working person is going to look at it that way and say, if you budgeted your money right, and especially if you're a veteran, you should have something stored up that if you're taking this pay cut, you're going to be fine for one season.
Right.
Whereas a normal person working an everyday job probably would not be.
Well, okay. So the other thing is that they're negotiating effectively like bounce back contracts, right? Where it's like, all right, I'll take a 50% work reduction or whatever and operate on that. But in the future, like say next season, I've got to make 110% or 115% of what I was supposed to make or what, some kind of bounce back, some kind of incentive. Like you heard those being negotiated in baseball too, where it's like, all right, we'll take the haircut with you, but there's got to be some kind of other, you know, there's got to be a carrot at the end of the stick. That's not happening with the average Bears out there in the United States right now who are getting that.
Well, and that's fair too. And the view that I was giving was kind of just the contrarian argument, because the one that I personally kind of believe in is that these large corporations, right, especially like banks and things like that, are always the one to tell you that you should save for a future investment, save for that rainy day fund, right, in case you were to lose your job because of a global pandemic.
Sure.
But they're the first ones that ask for the corporate bailout. And so it doesn't work both ways.
Right.
So the person who is arguing that the player should go take their money because they're making a lot to begin with still, or making still even after the contract shrinks, is oftentimes the same person that argues against the corporate bailout for that exact reason.
Right.
So it's almost like this contrarian argument amongst yourself.
Tough to be intellectually honest.
Right. It's very difficult to hold that ground the whole way through, which is why for my personal sake, if I'm talking about the players, go get your money. Go get whatever you can get.
Of course. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Tyler, I hope you're comfortable with this. You operate a channel on a popular internet TV platform.
Correct.
Right? I wish you all of the success in the future.
Well, thank you.
And that you become an empire. If you're running it, I also want you to be able to negotiate, if you need an editor, the best editor that you can get at the best price. You know what I mean? So, like, I get both sides of it. I totally understand making decisions for your business. The question with that is something completely different versus this minor league baseball thing with the system pretty much getting culled. And I need to know more about this. I need to know more about whether it's permanent. It seems to be permanent. It seems like they've been kind of plotting to get rid of teams for quite some time. And this was, once again, just another opportunity to do it. If you can do it, and effectively it's $5.2 million for one owner to keep 250 employees effectively off the streets, just the players. Percentage-wise, it's the same as if someone who is worth $700,000, a family who's worth $700,000, is asked to write a $175 check. Truly hard to see both sides in that one. Unless you're saying, which, by the way, we went into the last break talking about this, unless you're saying that you're not all that worried about the minor league system, which is fine. Honestly, I'm not. I swear I'm not. And I heard Mitch say the hardest thing in sports is to hit a baseball. Maybe that's true. That's fine. There's still the pressure to do your job if you are a scout. There's still the pressure to do your job if you're a player development person. There's still pressure to do, like, how many people do you think play basketball? And how limited you have, how few opportunities you have if you are an NBA basketball team to get it right. Don't you think that the NBA would love to have three or four whole teams full of prospects that you're working on and developing and seeing how it just doesn't go that way. Like it just, the rules have changed. You try to find the best players who can compete right away, or the ones who are going to be the best developmental prospects. they don't have 300 people in the organization. Whether they should or not, it's obviously, you know, they're at odds with baseball over that. But baseball making that determination, look, I get it. It's just a question of timing, too. It's like, hey, what are these guys going to do now? You know, like, if you care about your employees, there's someone that I know who learned recently that people that they oversee are going to be laid off. And, like, a lot of people that they oversee are going to be laid off. And the company is still trying to figure out, all right, how many people really need this? How many people have second jobs? How many? They're trying to evaluate and make decisions based on how they can, who will hurt the least by being laid off. It's a humane thing to do. It's a good thing to do if you're a company like that. I'm just saying, if you can write a check that is to you what $175 is to a person or a group that has a $700,000 net worth, you should do it. It's a humane thing to do. You should do it. It's neighborly, and it's nice. But I guess you don't have to. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. We have developments, by the way, in fans in stadiums. We're going to get to that in a matter of moments. And we do have wide open phone lines for the first time in quite some time. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. The 7 o'clock hour on the Joe Torti Show is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, so did you see what prompted Kyle Lohse to tweet that? Did you see him going back and forth with Bauer and what Bauer was saying?
Bauer calling him out of touch just because
your time as a player is come and gone.
Yeah. Oh, it's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. Well, I mean, it kind of is. Your intonation is that it's a bad thing.
So when has saying that someone is out of touch ever been a compliment? And by the way, I'm not saying that Trevor Bauer's wrong either. But to pretend that like there's nothing in the oh you're out of touch, just don't worry about it. Like that's just a neutral conversation.
Well, I mean, it's entirely just like the. No offense, but whatever comes after that comma is offensive. But people like thinly veil it with no offense.
No offense, but means buckle up.
Yeah, here you go. No offense, but I'm about to say some really mean things. And then if it's through text, I'm going to add ha-ha at the end.
Yeah, LOL.
To make it sound less offensive.
So you too have interacted with technology in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've been there, too. Let's go to Frank in Abington next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Frank?
Yes, hi. I'm old school, guys. I know nothing about technology.
Join that club, Frank.
And I love it. Oh, all I'm saying, guys, is I do listen to your program. I'm just talking about the old folks who don't have cable TV, this or that right now. I'm hearing Xfinity, Comcast. Hey, they're putting on the old... all the old games, Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers that win championships, and my parents don't see it. I just wish our local channels, 17, 29, and whatever, because I watched Channel 48 1973 when the Flyers were playing. I just wish some of our local channels just pick it up, put some of these games on for the old folks. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, so just the over Frank, thanks, man. The over the air. See him a little bit more over the air as opposed to cable. All right. I know that a lot of over the air stations are really struggling right now. So I don't know what the financial implications of getting those games are and things like that, but certainly an idea from Frank. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Dan Orlovsky's trending on Twitter. Why is this? Did he go head-to-head with Dame? Is that what happened?
Well, it says NBA trending, and then Dan Orlovsky, which is not a combination I thought I'd see.
Okay, let's see. So Damian Lillard and Dan Orlovsky were... Oh, boy. So I guess he was saying something about Orlovsky talking about, you know, Damian Lillard saying that he wouldn't come back. I'm trying to get the full details here. So I guess on Get Up, he referred to Damian Lillard as spoiled and entitled. Wow. Then, you know, Orlovsky also, when he was confronted by Lillard, said, you're right. I was wrong to use that phrase at the end. That's my bad. In, like, something that has literally never been seen on social media before, ever.
An apology?
Yeah, well,
happens once in a while.
Or an admission. Forget an apology, because you see apologies all the time. I'm sorry to anyone who may have been offended by something that may or may not have happened.
Oh, yeah, the more thinly veiled technology. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay.
I messed up. That wasn't right. There you go. So Orlovsky said, let's see. Well, Lillard said, entitled and spoiled, watch your mouth. My background, family, and character couldn't be further from entitled and spoiled. I said what I said. Wow. This is example number like 80 that we've found just in our time together. We have too much time now.
You and I?
We, as a society, have too much time
and not
stuff to do. We need to get back to the zoos and stuff. We need to go outside for walks.
I don't need the zoo.
You're out on the zoo?
I hate zoos.
What?
I hate zoos.
What do you mean you hate zoos?
I think they're totally inhumane.
All zoos?
I think all of them.
Are completely inhumane.
So. Yep.
Wow. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I don't like aquariums either.
Well, I would anticipate.
Same thing.
I would feel like if you don't like zoos, you probably don't like aquarium. All right.
The aquarium is, for the most part, in my opinion, a little bit better.
Okay.
Because size versus scale, right?
Yeah,
like
gotcha.
There's some smaller fish that have a much larger tank than you would think. I get that.
Uh-huh.
I don't do the whole cages thing.
Oh.
I don't like it.
Well, I mean, so not every zoo has, like, cages, right?
Yeah, I don't...
Philadelphia Zoo has, like, nice wide-open spaces for a lot of these animals.
I just don't think they're large enough.
They're not big enough.
These are roaming roaming animals.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's like the one animal rights thing I will step up and fight for.
I am surprised I learned a thing that I did not know about you today.
Outside of the obvious, by the way. Like, I don't mean to say, like, you know...
Kicking dogs and stuff.
That's an obvious thing that we should all know.
I got it.
But the one that is kind of like an accepted social okay thing, I don't like zoos.
So how come, and I'm not challenging you, I would anticipate that there are probably animal rights activists who feel very similar to you, that zoos and aquariums are inhumane and stuff like that. How come SeaWorld got like effectively totally shut down? And, like, zoos are still allowed to exist. It's
a really good question.
Strange.
I think SeaWorld got shut down specifically because of that documentary that came out.
Okay.
Not too long ago. Because it really, really showed... I think the whales specifically were the ones that got it basically canned. I don't know if there's one like that for zoos.
Tiger King.
Not quite.
Well, private zoos.
Yeah, that's even worse.
610-632-0975. I did not know that about you, Tom.
Not something I thought we'd talk about today, but yes, I'm very adamantly against zoos.
Now, how often do you think that? You're like, wow, I did not. You go home, you're talking about the show, and your family's like, hey, how'd everything go? I did not anticipate us going down that rabbit hole.
First hour and 32 minutes, we talked about baseball and players making money versus, and then all of a sudden it devalued into, I hate zoos.
Went right turn directly into the zoo situation. 610-632-0975. Directly off of the Dan Orlovsky thing. So we talked about the Texas fans situation. And if you haven't heard this, this just... came in like pretty much half an hour, maybe an hour ago, the state of Texas is to allow fans to attend sporting events at 25% capacity starting Friday. So five out of 254 counties in Texas are currently not allowed to host any sporting events. The counties with the state's largest cities and sports teams, San Antonio, Austin, Houston, and Dallas, are all in the clear so long as they receive approval from the Texas Department of State Health Services. The state health agency says that they'll only approve venues that operate under guidelines that facilitate appropriate social distancing. 25% is probably that. I would assume that you could do social distancing if you were careful and there were 25%. The TDSHS recommends, which is interesting language, wearing face masks and carrying hand sanitizer in public settings. The governor has previously said the state is planning on having college football begin on time. If you want my prediction is yes, we're going to have some college we're going to have college football beginning as scheduled with at least some level of fans in the stands. Abbott said Friday in an interview with KXAN TV in Austin. So there you go. At least Texas is heading in that direction, and what we've seen is, when it comes to sports, when it comes to shutdowns, when it comes to reopenings, somebody's always got to be first. It's been copycat from the beginning with everybody copying the NBA to shut down and everything else. I would anticipate, Tyler, that now in a lot of states, there will probably be a race. Now that Texas is first, people will want to be on that train sooner rather than later because everybody wants to say that, like, you know, they're on top of it and they're first.
Yeah, I would bet you're probably right. And I would imagine too, with it kind of being a population based thing, you'll see some Midwest states open that up.
Mm.
Some states like as further as you go Midwest and north, the Montanas, the North Dakotas, that'll probably start to happen, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that you said that there was five that won't allow it or four that won't allow
four
it?
Four counties that will not, yeah.
And none of them are the big cities.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know what's going on in those four counties as opposed to the other 218 or whatever it is, that those are the ones if none of them house Dallas or Houston or San Antonio or anything like that.
That is super interesting. You know, it makes you wonder if it's cities that have minor league teams, if it's, you know, regional, high school, college, whatever. I don't know. It's a good question. But I don't know either what that necessarily means for Philadelphia or New Jersey effectively. But Jersey's already been cleared to resume sporting events. Same with Philadelphia in terms of training and that sort of thing. But the fans element is a new one to this. Here's my take on fans at the events. I am disappointed that so far it seems like a lot of, not necessarily saying across the board, but I'm disappointed that some sports have been lost when perhaps they didn't need to. Especially considering how well these leagues and teams have organized things via telepresence, or we've seen some various sports leagues across the world executing well without fans and stuff like that, right? I would be excited to see, quite frankly, just the freedom and choice to go or not go return. I do think it's important to be to take everything very seriously from a health perspective. I think it's important to be responsible. I think it's important to socially distance and to follow laws and stuff like that. But 25% capacity starting on Friday, super interesting development in Texas. I had family come in from Florida, too. They said that it is completely different in Florida relative to how it is here in the Delaware Valley in terms of shutdowns and what's open and what's not and everything. So I would anticipate this is going to be handled in a very different way across the country. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic, at Tyler Zuli. We'll be right back with more after this. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We're together until 10. Tyler Zuli hanging out as well. Texas, 25% occupancy allowed at sporting events starting on Friday. What's your reaction to that, Tyler? Just generally speaking, when you read that news, what do you think?
I am cautiously optimistic,
okay,
but still certainly concerned about a lot of things. There is still a lot that hasn't been said. They just said, hey, we're opening and this is the number and all of that stuff.
Right.
I still need to see how the parameters are going to be set to get people in the stands, where they're going to sit, concessions, restrooms.
Yep.
All of that kind of stuff.
So
I need to see it before I can make a decision.
So I think that a big part of that, for sure, is being allowed to do those things versus, like, that's what's going to happen. For example, I would anticipate that to start, if you're going to be, you know, mega uber careful, and I'm not just talking about the sports, like, teams, organizations, leagues that are conducting it from a fan perspective, but all of those other businesses that are sports adjacent, like you said, if they can only support 10% occupancy or 15% occupancy or something like that, I think it's on them to mandate, like, hey, I know that we're allowed to do 25. We're going to start things slow at 10 or 15%, and then we'll ramp up to, you know, what we're allowed to do. But I don't know if that's going to be the case, considering, you know, you saw this past weekend, people are very anxious and excited. A lot of people are to just get back to whatever normal is going to be after that.
Well, I think that that's probably going to be a state-by-state thing, because through everything, no matter the anxious or not, however, you know, whatever kind of guidelines or rules were put in place, it's going to be a state-by-state thing to see how they do reopen, because mm-hmm. You're correct. There probably will be stadiums and cities and things like that that say, yes, we're at 25%, but we're only going to do 10 to 15 to give it a shot, versus there are going to be some places where that is just not going to be acceptable.
Right.
And they're going to go right for the 25 right away.
I think that that's definitely true. Definitely true. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. I think, though, that you're going to see, like you said, Tyler, probably some other states open up across the middle part of the country. I bet, though, that there's going to be big ramifications for college football here, because that's kind of like the next sport up as well. And there's a movement, especially among power, what you'd call power college football conferences and teams, to try to get things rolling there, that they would want to see things in some capacity with fans kind of resume normalcy. I would bet that in addition to, you know, the Midwest, like you said, it's going to be down south. It's going to be where college football is the best, that you're going to see some of these other initiatives starting to accelerate as well.
Yeah, I think that there, if you're going to talk about conferences specifically that are going to push for reopen, it's not going to be the Big Ten and it's not going to be the Pac-12. It will likely be the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
It will likely be the Big 12. It will likely be the ACC, especially the teams that do go further down south. I think they're the ones that are going to be the ones to push forward first.
Right. I think you're right about that. 610-632-0975. I've been thinking about what we were talking about with Game of Thrones. Do you think that a prorated salary is going to be the solution for hockey, basketball, and the NFL?
You anticipate for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
For 2020?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You do not?
No, I don't, because the NBA and NHL seasons are almost over anyway.
Yes.
These guys got most of their contracts, I believe, and I don't know the exact structure of how they get paid, but I would think that these guys got most of their contracts and they'll get paid their playoff pay and whatever it is, and that'll be that.
Usually game checks.
Right. I don't think the NFL will change at all, because I think, based on Texas being the first to open and it's May, I think I can almost now start to believe that there will be some fans in the stands in week one of the NFL season. I didn't think that a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The way things have progressed, I'm starting to believe that. I think baseball is the only one that's going to that it's going to be proposed in, and I think it's going to be the only one because of it that doesn't play.
So it's zero baseball.
I don't. I mean, I've been saying that since the beginning of April. You're not going to get baseball at all from a safety perspective, and it changes from a safety perspective to a money perspective.
Right.
I don't think baseball gets played in 2020.
So I was not the biggest baseball fan in the 90s. But people who were told me that baseball went from being the most important thing in the 90s. I don't know if I can't imagine a world where the NFL wasn't the most important sport. But supposedly people who love baseball say that this is the case. To after the 94 strike falling way, way behind. I'm choosing to believe that that's true. If there was a stoppage, and I'm not saying one side is right or wrong. Once again, like, take that out of it. It's a global pandemic. I would anticipate, no matter what people say, people are desperate for sports to come back. People want, like, a distraction. They want something. If it goes by the wayside, not because of health, but because of money, that might be literally a critical hit. That might be a death blow to a whole generation having even a passing interest in baseball relative to the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but
yes.
No one will take out of my mind, will change my opinion that the 94 strike cost the city of Montreal a baseball team.
You think so?
I truly believe that.
They had a good team.
That's the thing.
Gone.
Is not only were they probably the best team in the league that year, but you pair that with a dilapidating stadium, which was a dumpster fire by the end of the tenure in Montreal. You add it to the fact that for whatever reason, even when the fact that the Senators twice moved out of Washington, there was always that rumor that Washington was going to get a baseball team again.
Yes.
It's just a bad pairing for, it was a bad pairing for the Expos then, and I think it's a bad pairing for certain teams now. I like the longstanding tradition of the Oakland A's, I don't think is present in Oakland.
Mm.
Right? Like, I think that if the A's were to still be in Philadelphia, it would be a different story.
Okay.
But considering they've moved twice since the time in their franchise, once since leaving Philadelphia, I don't know how many people in Oakland are diehard A's fans. It's the same situation. The stadium's a dump. They don't pay anybody. They don't have it. They don't spend any money.
Right.
What's to stop that team from leaving?
Yeah.
And that's not only just the casual fan. That's an entire lifespan of Oakland A's fans that are now gone. Because we talked about that.
That'd be a hit, man.
Another thing we talked about, I don't know if it was you and I or Devon and I. I apologize if it was Devon and I, but
people mix us up all the time.
Well, no, it's because I produce both of you guys.
I'm just kidding, Tyler. Go ahead, buddy.
We had the conversation of if your team moves to another city, are you following them?
Yeah, we talked about that.
That was you and I. Okay. I don't think the Oakland A's fans move.
I don't think so either.
So that's a team right there that's prime example.
Yeah.
And now they're in the forefront for not paying their minor league baseball players. This is a snowball, man.
Yeah, it's going to get really, really ugly. I think so. Now, you bring up a good point that Major League Baseball is the only team that has to kind of figure this out from Jump Street, right? I can't imagine there's a risk that the NFL will miss a second of gameplay. Tyler, they're going to play the preseason. They're going to play all five. They're going to play all 5 weeks.
I can't believe that, but you're right.
They're going to do it. The Hall of Fame game is going to have fans in it. Unreal. Now, you said you can't believe it. I would have said that in the past too, but I don't know if that's like reactionary to say, considering how rapidly the world's changing, how rapidly the information is streaming in. Maybe that was short-sighted of me to be like, really? September, there are going to be fans? How do we know?
I don't think it was.
No?
And I especially with the preseason games. Week one is a little bit of a different story.
Yeah. That's
but with those preseason games, do teams really make money off of that?
I think so.
They do.
They make good money. Yeah.
That's insane.
Because you got regional television.
I guess, right? Yeah.
You got parking is the same. You got tickets are the same. It's crazy.
And you have to buy them.
You got to buy them.
Like, if you want a season ticket package, you have to buy the preseason games.
Yes, you cannot opt out of that.
I mean, my dad is one of, you know, literally 70,000 people that are furious every single year. We got to buy these stupid preseason tickets.
I don't want these.
They don't go. You know who goes to the preseason games? Like the dad's friend's son.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you take your the little guy for the first time.
Because you know you can leave by halftime.
Right, exactly.
It's not a big deal.
Well, it's 90 degrees out in September, or in October, or August.
August,
use
yes.
your months, that's okay.
Use your months.
No one wants to go to those games. They're still going to play them.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Unreal. I never thought that week one was in danger. I thought that at least some preseason might be. Nope. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.